The interview was conducted at Johnny's home in Galena
on September 12, 1980.
The interview was conducted for BLM by Tom Beck.
Charlie grew up in Koyukuk, Alaska, where his father had a small store. In 1926, he moved to Galena. Charlie taught school in Galena and Koyukuk for 9 years for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Charlie also was a river pilot for the CAA for 14 years. Charlie was a dog musher and participated in the 1925 diphtheria serum run from Nenana to Nome. Charlie ran the segment from Bishop Mountain to Nalato, a distance of 36 miles, a temperature of 62 degrees below zero.
We're building. Say a little bit about what we're doing, just getting some of the history behind the Iditarod Trail and some of the mail runs, and of course you've talked a lot about the serum run, I know, to a lot of people. We're interested in also some of the mail runners and, you know, some of the history behind the trail.
I carried me for a couple of months on the Nenana to Nome run, just on the Yukon, and my dad had to run over from McGrathstown, Cusco, to come by from Nenana to McGrath, I guess. Or, I don't know where they. I think they did. They took from McGrath to Cotna and Oprah and down to.
Did he have the mail run?
After that major robbery, and they fired all the contractors and mail carriers, and they got the men from Nenana along the Yukon here. They got the contractors, and they gave them that job, and took the mail carriers over there too.
He ran, he ran the mail run around the McGrath area, and then he came up here to the Yukon, or?
Me? No.
Your father?
No, my dad was in, he started a Koyukuk village down there in 1901 or something like that.
Which village?
Koyukuk.
Oh.
It's in the mouth of the Koyukuk River.
Mm-hmm.
And he got married there, and he moved the telegraph station to the riverbank there, so he started a little store. And then the people moved in. It used to be a pretty good sized village, but now it's dying off. They're all scattered all over.
How did he happen to come to Koyukuk?
He was coming from the Four Golds.
Really?
He came up on a sailing ship from Seattle to St. Michael,
huh.
And got a smaller boat and came on up, and that's where he got frozen at Koyukuk. He was going up the Koyukuk River to with his gunny sack and shoulder and gather up his gold.
Where was he from?
He was just Idaho.
Oh, really?
Malad, Idaho. But his parents came over in the covered wagons, and I guess in Mormons.
Hmm. And he settled then, made a little store there at Koyukuk,
yeah,
at the mouth of it.
Yes. Yes. He never went out again to the States for about 20 years, I guess.
There was no village there at Koyukuk?
There was a village there and a nice school.
Before he started, though?
There was nothing there.
And then you were telling me he was running down by McGrath, or what was... He was doing the mail contract down that area?
No, I worked on the Yukon.
No, your father?
My father, no, he never carried mail. He's a storekeeper, and he cut wood for the steamboats. So he made his living for the first year or so.
Where did you grow up?
Mostly here, at Koyukuk. I got married in 1926. I moved up here. My wife wanted to live up here, just her home. home was in Loudoun. Mm. Nothing there now.
So when you were growing up, you were living at Loudoun, or?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I lived here in Galena. They moved the village down here in 1920. I lived here as soon as I got married and stayed here for 3-4 years, and I lived up the Kyle River. I started a little village up there too. Store.
What village was that?
They moved it to Hoosa. Now it used to be about 15 miles from there. Cut-off, they call it. It's the lower end of the cut-off channel that's on the Kyle River.
What'd you do there?
I had a store for my dad.
You were talking about that. You said your dad had a contract though for. Somebody had a contract. You were talking about coming down the McGrath Ophir area. Who was that?
No,
you?
He never was over in McGrath. The contractor did a fellow named Ben Derrick. He got his contract in 1999. Then he had he had drivers all the way from Ruby to Coltag, and all the way over to Euryclete.
Mm-hmm. What was his name?
Other brothers had contracts up there. Ben Derrick. He's an old timer from Nome. Dope Musher. He was in the long races over there too. And he came over with surveyors. Brought the surveyors over. And he homesteaded in Whiskey Creek.
Did your father have any dogs? Did he keep a dog team?
No, they already had dogs. A few. They never had the big teams to this when, or until I was growing up, and then I had 50 or 20 dogs that kept around because I drove them every day. So didn't have any other transportation.
When did you first? So you, what did you do? Did you go to school outside?
I went to school outside for 5 years.
Hmm. Did you go to school here in the States?
I was a teacher up here.
Were you?
Taught school for 9 years.
Where?
For the BIA. Here in Calico. I wouldn't have stayed in that long, but I was forced to my job in Canada War. Staying where we were. As soon as I could get out of there, I got out of there and worked for us as a river pilot for the CAA.
Where were you going up the Koyukuk?
I went up the Koyukuk Forest Medalist and down the River Forest Marshall and all along the stations along the river here.
I'd heard somewhere that your father was in charge of getting some of the dogs for the serum run. Was that?
So he asked a native person. That native had a pretty good dog team. I just came out of the Kaikou River then with a dog team, and my dad asked me if he'd meet a team in Mission Mountain and take a serum to which is that the babies were sick in Nome. And I just, native, I know what's got to do, how much they're going to pay me. I got mad, so I said, I'll take it. I said, you don't have to pay me anything. That's how I got on that run.
Do you remember what time of the year? There were two serum runs, is that right?
But that's what I ran in February. February 25th, I think, somewhere.
What segment did you run? Where did you run?
Bush Mountain, Nilado.
How long did it take you?
It was really cool at Inger. I just let them dogs take their time. There's 62 below zero when I went by Kaiko at 5 o'clock in the morning.
It's in about 25 miles or something?
It was about 35 more than I said. I didn't call it 36 miles.
Was it, did you normally run dogs when it was that cold? I mean, have you ever run the...
Well, when it's cold, they let them take their time to speed them up where they freeze their lungs.
Whose team was it that you used?
Mm-hmm.
Whose team was it that you used for the serum run?
My own. Seven dogs. I had to come up to a Bishop Mountain at night and wait there in the old cabin till the team came down there at about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I took it over from there. Take it down the ladder, then I had to come back to Keokuk again.
Who did you meet at Bishop Mountain?
Not George Nuller. That's Edgar Nuller's brother. Edgar took it from Whiskey Creek to Galena. It was really cool at that time. His brother said he'd take it down, and so we brought it down to Bishop Mountain. And I took it from him. Hmm.
You had seven dogs, you said?
I had seven, that's what I drove then.
What kind were they? Were they huskies or...?
They called them Malamute dogs. And that was before I started making a hobby of raising. Breed the dogs, you know, part of what...
Well, you started raising them?
Yeah.
What are the best kind for sled dogs?
Hmm?
What are the best kind for...
What you get used to, I think. bird dogs are the most I breed. They're more willing, but they don't stand up on that weather.
So you just mixed them, mixed breeds, is that what you use, basically? Mm-hmm. You had mixed breeds?
Mixed team?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there. I had two of them outside breed I borrowed there in Dolby to make the trip down, and I used them. I posted the two dogs and Franks brought them back up there. One was alive when I got back, but he's died. I didn't know that.
The harness, is that what it was?
No, it's they don't have any fur on here. And the skin and the snow, I guess it freezes them.
Pulls around their underside.
Their stomach, everything is frozen, their stomach.
You remember your lead dog, what your lead dog was running the
circle? That was part wolf. That was.
Part wolf?
Yeah. I just started to raise dogs at the time. I had only bought five of them of my own. I could depend on them.
How big a package was the serum? Was that just
about 10 by 10 or something like that?
How much did it weigh?
No, hardly anything. There was a note came down with it and said to bring it in and warm it up. And I had a rabbit skin robe in my sled and wrap it with that. But it was froze on the way somewhere. Because we'd come all the way from Tana down to Nevada. And they said it froze, but it was all right. They used it anyway, so they made another run in April. But that was more for publicity, I guess. They wanted to see if they could beat our time. Yeah. They ended up way behind.
Did you run in the April one?
No, I went back up. I was living up at Dolby that winter. I just happened to come down there. I used to bring furs down for my dad to ship out.
What did you, when you were breeding dogs and stuff, what did you look for? I've often been interested in how they decide, like for a lead dog.
I tried different dogs. I was down the ladder. I had five females, and I put them with different dogs to see how they turned out. They all turned out good.
What do you look for in a lead dog? I was talking to some people like Joe Reddington or something, and I don't know.
Well, I guess there was Reinsley Belt and a good-sized dog there. About 65, 68 pounds. The heaviest dog I had was 84 pounds, I guess. He was a little too heavy for a tough run.
Look for smart dogs, for lead dogs?
Yeah. They know that how to follow a trail. And once they go on a trail, they'll know it. I mean, the next year you can go. I can go across the plateau over here, and when I go along, I just make a little mark on the small cotton trees, make a mark on their blades, and the next year I'll go back when they're breaking trail, and they'll go right from one tree to another, right across the plateau. They'll follow right where they went before.
How is the trail marked from, like, Ruby to Nolato?
Well, they stake the trail on the river. It's all on the river.
They put stakes down?
Yeah, water stakes. And I had that job one year. I broke the trail there and staked it all the way down. The contractor had that job, and he let me do it. 50 cents a mile. Everything was 50 cents a mile.
It's hard work, huh?
I got to go out and get a little willows, and don't take long to empty that sled, and you stop somewhere and pick up another sled load of willows.
Then you had to break trail too, right?
I had to break trail. I didn't have to do too much. That leader I had been making that run the winter before, and he knew right where to go. He almost followed his same tracks.
When you were running dogs, did you mainly, did you have to break the trail for them, or was that usually that trail?
At times I have to break them and snooze too much.
How would you do that?
Put on snowshoes and walk ahead of them.
That must have been really time consuming.
Well, yeah, I went up and from Kaikuk, I was breaking trail on the Kaikuk River, and it took me 14 hours to get up to the first camp.
From where?
From Kaikuk to up and going up to the Kaikuk River. And next day I had to go down and break trail again, and it took me 14 hours to get back to home.
Did you ever use skis?
I used it when I was trapping, I just. But we used skis on the sled all the time. We have a good trailer, sit down on the bow of the sled and have a jeep hold up and keep the runners in the sled tracks to make it easier for you.
Mm-hmm. What, did you make your own sleds?
Yeah. Make birch sleds.
What'd you make them out of? What kind of wood?
Birch. We used to get raw hide from the coast, from the Eskimos there, you know, to the last sled. You know.
And then you'd use birch and lash it together with raw
hide? They're limber. They're not like hardwood. Hardwood is too stiff and harder pulling for a dog. Birch will just go like that. You know.
A little give to it.
Yeah, give. And they don't squeak like a hardwood.
How about the runners? What were the runners?
I used hickory runners and, you know, thin half inch thick, and use that on the outside of the birch to protect that birch. They get in when it's a crust on the snow, it'll wear out. The birch runners pretty fast, too soft wood. Then when it gets wounded, we use iron runners, steel runners.
Which worked the best?
Steel runners are the best when it's warm weather, and that hickory is good for all winter.
Is there hickory around here?
No, we have to order it. I'll just carry hickory runners and iron runners in the stores.
They did?
Yeah.
How long did it take to make a sled?
It takes quite a while to dry it. After you bend it and dry it, and it'll take about a day or so to put it together after. I made a made one 14-foot stand-up kayak up there in about less than 2 days.
Really?
Yeah, it was bent and dried. We didn't have electric tools up there either. It's a bit like this. It's chiseled.
Was it, birch was pretty easy to bend then?
Yeah, it bends, most of the time it bends easy to get the right birch, and some of them splinter and they're under.
Would you heat it to bend it, or?
No, I never did. I did with hickory. Hickory bends easy with steam it with hot water, with penny sacks and hot water.
Did you? You said you had a contract hauling wood. Did you?
I did one spring. This is down here at Green.
Who were you hauling for?
Well, the Alaska Railroad. Piled it out on the bank. I cut it and hauled it 50 cords of wood.
You cut it here in the bank?
Right in. So it was right in here, I think. And I leaked out there. Back on the lakes and cut the wood and haul it out to the river bank.
And then?
Then they come out and measure it on the first trip, and then you get a check the next year.
The Alaska Railroad, you said?
The Alaska Railroad, yeah.
How did it get down to the railroad?
The steamboats. They had their own steamers.
You remember some of the name of the steamboats that were?
Steamer Nenana was the last one I sold wood to. They had a steamer Alice too.
Alice?
Yeah. And they had a steamer Jacobs and a steamer Davis. So they were the last boats on the river. Steamboats.
What kind of boat did you have? You said you were piling a boat up the Koyukut?
It was a diesel-powered tugboat.
Edgar Nolner on that boat with you? Was Edgar Nolner on that boat with you? Or?
Yeah, he worked with me for about 3 years, I guess, my pilot.
Where did you run from?
From Nenana to Lake Minchunda. Nenana to going to Forest Marshall a couple of times. We must have run for the Kaiko River, Michumna, and down far as called Kaiko.
Were you hauling freight?
There was oil mostly, bulk oil for the stations. They were all our groceries and all our equipment, tractors and everything.
How long did you do that for? How long did you run that boat?
14 years.
What was the name of the boat?
It's a different name. They called it Severe 21st. I don't know what else they called it after that. They changed the name for it. I didn't. It was just on the books, that's all. There used to be a town there right at the mouth of the Yuki River.
Where, right at the...
Yuki River empties up there about 18 miles below Ruby. It empties into the Yukon.
What was the name of that?
Just Lewis Landing. Dishkaka Trail was. That used to be one of them.
One of the things we were wondering about, where was Lewis Landing? This was the trail that went down. We think it was somewhere up in this area, but we're not really sure. Do you remember?
No, it must be the Yuki River empties here at Yuki's Landing, at Lewis Landing, in Whiskey Creek. They took it from Whiskey Creek to Nalada, and then Church's mother took it from Nalada to to a bit of that.
This is a
greenery down here.
Yeah. Do you remember where? Do you remember a village or being there at Lewis Landing?
I went to there with boats years ago, 1915, I think.
Buddy,
huh? Yeah. Dad, get some right out here. I need a tree. Yeah, take some of that feed down for your chickens.
Your next is just coming by.
Huh.
Your next is just coming by.
I was saying, do you remember?
Yeah, you could. I used to have a little store there in the food table. And, you know, when I first started with the store, in 1915.
Who ran that store, do you remember?
I was going up with boots in the summer.
Do you remember who ran the store? Who was the...
Oh, Dave Lewis.
Was there any... Were there other people living there besides Dave?
There was about 40, 50 natives there. He had a root house in there. They used that Yuki Trail, they call it, to go to this cacket.
Yuki Trail?
Yeah, that goes over to Iluka.
When did Dave stop? When did that roadhouse stop running?
When I went outside of school, when I came back, the village was all gone.
When did
I came
you?
Back in 1922. Yeah, he moved his store up to Ruby then.
So did he run a roadhouse in Ruby too?
He had a store in Ruby.
Did you ever travel the trail there from Lewis Landing down, the Yuki Trail down to Dishkacket?
No, I just went up there. This is a woman on top there with a boat in Yuki Trail. I've been up to Dishkacket on the Inoka River.
Mm-hmm.
I camped up there below Hooper when spring to hunt beaver in. And I came down the local river all the way to the whole course.
Is that?
You ought to get a big sack of it. There's quite a bit of it. Well, you can get some later.
Do you remember the trail here from...
My daughter.
Remember the trail here from... Like Lewis Landing, is this? Did it pretty much follow the bank along here?
Yes, right down the river. From Ruby, I carried me down to Nalato for a couple of months.
Did the trail follow along the river? Here it shows it. We show the rail trail cutting off right here at.
That was new, but they never used it.
They never used this cutoff here.
It was Kaiko going to go through that. And people were all camping around the river, and they wanted their mail service, so they made them follow the river. And they'd stop at every place and pick up the mail or deliver mail.
Well, this, so that when you ran it, it just pretty much ran along the river then?
Mm-hmm. All along the river.
Where were some of the roadhouses or shelter cabins along here?
There were quite a few of them there. The Army had to. Signal Corps, about every 10, 15 miles, but never used them. There's a shelter in Mossop Bear Creek, and one up in here somewhere.
To the east.
Loudon's Loudon.
Loudon's down here.
There.
Left the train.
Yeah, did the trail... See, we're not sure where the trail was. We have the trail marked here, where we thought it was, which it went off this way. It went on the river all the time, huh? It actually went down to Loudon then.
Yeah.
And then followed all the...
No, true, that's true. And down
was there was a roadhouse in Loudon?
He did. I had a roadhouse there. 1920, and then they moved to Richardson here. And they got a roadhouse here in Canada.
What was his name?
Al Nolner.
Lawler?
Nolner.
Oh. Is that some relation to Edgar?
Yes, that's Edgar's dad, too. It's my wife, too. It's Edgar's sister.
Let's How about up in here? This is between Bishop Rock here. Is that the same as Bishop Mountain?
Yeah, that's Bishop Mountain.
And this is the river here. Did the trail just go along
the river? Follow the river all the way. Go from point to point, and it didn't go any. It wasn't any farther than if we could cut across the portage. And
was there anything here at Bishop Mountain? Was there a village there, a roadhouse, or anything?
There's a little village there now.
Was there then?
There used to be a mill cabin stop there. Mill cabin stop at Kai Cook, Bishop Mountain, Loudon, and then at Malozy up there too, Malozy and Lewis Landing. There must be up around here. There was a telegraph station too.
When you say there was a mail stop, was there a special cabin or?
No, that's somebody to tell you. You're a storekeeper. They feed the mail carriers. But there you have stops farther up.
Do you remember who ran the cabin like at Bishop Mountain there?
There's Joe Stigman was staying there at the time.
Joe Stigman?
So yeah, I was kind of meeting him. Oh, he was kind of meeting him. I was taking the stool.
Did he also take people in like as a roadhouse?
Well, he'd stop anywhere and eat lunch. And if I got to night time, then sleep.
How much did he charge, do you remember?
$1 a night. $1 for breakfast, no. $6 for breakfast and $1 for dinner.
Sounds good now, doesn't it?
It was until about 1927 when they raised the price to $2 a night.
How long was that? Was he there at Bishop Mountain? How long was he running that cabin there, Joe?
No, I just stayed there till 4 o'clock in the morning till get there.
No, I mean it.
Till the servant got there and I went, left and went to the ladder.
But how long, like, you know, in the 20s did he stop doing that? Or did most of these cabins go out of?
No, they're all down there. There was in 25. That cabin was still there in 1927, I guess.
Stop this if you want to. You said you got down to Ophir on the Anoco?
I went down to a bit. I went over to Hunt Beaver, my brother-in-law, and I walked over there. And we made a couple of boats there, and whipped saw them and made boats. And then we came down 525 miles down to Holcross.
Did you get to Ophir there?
I did. I looked at it on top of a hill there. I was camping about 5 miles from there, hunting beaver, and I had no reason to go up there. Walter went up there once and got some gas for me. I bought a kettle from you while going through there. And two horsepower kettle.
When?
We used it all the way out in Oka River, too.
Really?
Stay rowing.
Was that Anoco? That was a pretty winding river, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's going through.
Did you ever get to Iditarod?
Or nice river.
Did you ever get to Iditarod at all? The town of Iditarod?
No. There was just Walter and I and me and our friends. It was the first time we'd never been on that river before. We didn't know where we were at, and no maps or anything. We came to that Dishkaget. Next symbol had a store there. The men used to go through there, next symbol's place. I think they call it Fairview or something like that.
Fairview Road House?
Yeah, Fairview Landing.
That was in Dishkaket?
Yeah.
How many people lived there? Do you remember when they're...
Just that storekeeper at home.
Max Semmel?
Max Semmel, yeah.
Semmel. Do you remember where the trail went into from Lewis Landing down to Dishkaket?
Yeah. Could be not about 30 miles under the trail, just trapping marking. These never wrote out as long as years ago.
Do you remember where they were approximately?
No, I seen the marks of one of them. About 30 miles dark. The cabin is all gone.
Ask you a little bit, just a few more minutes about that serum run. Were you hesitant about going out because it was so cold? I mean, that was usually colder than you'd be out running dogs, wasn't it? 60s and below.
I used to go out any time when I had to go out. It didn't bother cold weather. Didn't bother waking. I could keep myself warm, but the dogs would tell us after watching them. They always put on a lot of broke clothes and.
Did you make boots for them, booties for their feet and stuff, like they do now in the race?
We did in spring when it started to be, tall and freeze, wear out their feet, and I'd use tennis boots for them. And I used to use some caribou skin boots, which are better.
Caribou skin?
Yeah, soft, tan caribou skin. Their toenails stick out through the skin. As soon as they get a little bit wet, the toenails go right through and they can walk.
Just get a little traction on that.
Yeah, they don't slide around there. And they last a long time too. They last the whole spring.
What time did you start that run? Did you say in the early morning you started that serum run?
4 o'clock.
In the morning?
Yeah. Pitch dark. Just dark all the way until I get up to the valley. About 8 o'clock, I guess, or 9 o'clock. Then it started to snow by the time I got to the valley.
Could you see the trail markings at all?
The dogs would see them. But I was going by an open water. There was still open water on the river, it's about a half a mile long. I was going by there and real cold, and that fog. And I was about, the fog was about this high on me, I was holding the sled and couldn't see the dogs, or I think just like flying above the clouds.
Hope they knew where they were going.
And it's real cold. That fog go right through.
Could you, if they didn't know where they were going, could you have told them?
The dogs, they follow the trail, they smell the trail. That was a good trailer time. That's how they never beat our time. All the sons of the serum drivers, they made the trip once. We went down in 5 days and 7 hours, I guess, from Nenana to Nome. And when they went down there, 15 days and they weren't there yet.
How come it was such a good trail at that time?
The main team was running over it all the time. It was just hard packed. It's almost like cement, icy road.
Did you run the mails at all?
Just 2 months at all.
Once?
2 months.
When was that?
It was in 26 because that milk carrier got, that contract got, started to have a hemorrhage. 50 below.
You got married at 10,
were
you?
Yeah, I got married. They got married at 10, then I had to take the maid for them up to Whiskey Creek and Ruby, and maybe two months. And I quit, I didn't. Just got married, I wouldn't be out on the tree all the time.
Who was this that got a hemorrhage?
Ben Derrick, the contractor. And he was a good friend of just Alan Dollard. And he asked me to, if I'd take the mail for a couple of trips.
Was he okay, or is he?
Mm-hmm.
Did he survive?
He got over it. I hauled him back up to Whiskey Creek about 2 weeks after that. I made one more trip up to Ruby and back, and then returned the dogs to him.
Did you ever get lost mushing dogs?
You can't get lost in the trail on the river. You always have a trail. I know just all the country around here. Walk around in the forest.
A lot more game back then.
There's not a moose in the country nowadays. They moved in there in 1928. I was going up to Keiko with a load of freight and a boat. There's tracks on the sandbar. Stopped there, looked at it, and there's a moose track. I never saw a moose track before, but it's just like a cow track.
Really?
It's just like cow tracks. The people didn't know what kind of track it was. They never seen moose before.
I wonder how they happen to just start moving in the area.
They're doing something now, they're moving out gradually there, and they've never seen the moose in Kotzebue. Now there's lots of them up there. I think they're getting moving away from civilization.
There's lots of them around, I think, too. Mm-hmm. Did you used to trap a lot?
Yeah, trap every winter. I do. I still can't get any group. Snare rabbits and eat bullgrass and ptarmigans and stuff like that. And lots of fish.
How much did you get for... what did you do with the pelts?
With what?
The pelts, the fur?
Or some of the traders. To trade up for groceries. No cash.
Where were the traders located?
My dad was living in Keokuk. Sometimes when I got beaver, and I sold them in Ruby. Because I need some cash, so I just go get it.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to me. I know you've done this before, so I appreciate you taking the time. Here's the map of Dishkakit area. Here's Dishkakit. Mm-hmm. And this comes down here to... see, Ophir should be in here. Ophir.
Yes, right now. Comes over and it's split. As far as I've been up there, went down there and I went ways in there. Then I was camping down below here. I went cross country there and back.
Do you remember any of the roadhouses along here or in here?
We got a trail from just there. Is that a Yuki? No. Tolstoy, that's a... Where's that Yuki River? No, Dishkakit is a big one.
This is Dishkakit here? Okay.
It's a mud river. It goes towards the... I can't teach you that. It's a caravan that way, and then... And the grass was under, run from Nenana, and there was another run from Ruby, with McGrath too.
How did they go in the going from Ruby to McGrath?
they go over the hills to Long Creek and Poor Man, and then all would go Folger and the Nook River, and then up to Ophir.
Here's
Tullivanna and then McGrath.
Here's Folger here, and this is Ophir down here. And they did come down this way. This goes up to, there's two trails apparently. Here's Ophir trail split.
Here one trail. And they carried horses, I mean with horses, I think, from, I don't think so. They had no airplanes up there either. They got their mail from McGrath, from Dinana,
mm-hmm.
and direct to Lake Michoud and then to McGrath, and then they went down to Dishkegget. Them prospectors go there to over there, that's where they split down the river to go over a mountain here.
Mount Hurst?
There's a mountain there. I went to it and then from there I cut across the country and went back.
There's a
direct route sure to Nome. It looks like direct route, but they used to have a trail from Coltag across here too.
This would be, up there.
Yeah. They had a trail from Coltag and they had a trail from the UK and then from Ruby. The whole country was crisscrossed with trails in there. So.
Probably a lot easier to...
Everybody walking.
Yeah. Did they ever use horses up in this area at all?
They used it for Tanana and
From Nenana to Tanana?
Yeah. But they quit using them, I think. Yeah. They didn't have too much mail in.
Never used them up this far.
No, that was good. 1,500 pounds of mail and the big sleds. You have 21 dogs to make the way faster time than the horse. After they closed that Fort Gibbon there, turned up, they never much made there coming in there anymore.